Well, got a light and cheery topic this morning, and it's the topic of suffering. All of us at some point in our lives will encounter a very severe trial. Hopefully we don't have it every day of our lives, but from time to time, all of us will. And if you haven't yet, you will. That's the good news. And it presents to us those times, those severe trials present to us an opportunity to seek after God, to pray to Him, or an opportunity to ignore Him. We are faced with that choice. And our Lord Jesus, when He walked on the earth, knows what it's like from His experience, knows what it's like to suffer and to pray. In the last hour before His arrest, His mock trial and His torture, in Mark 14, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. Greatly distressed and troubled. And He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, He fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. So here He is facing the great evil of what the Jews and the Romans were going to place upon Him, killing Him, torture Him, as well as, and probably even far worse, would be the weight of the world's sins on His back. And Jesus prayed out of His agony and His distress. And I find it here remarkable that He actually prayed, if it was possible, that He could get out of this trial. He knew very well the whole reason for the Son of God to descend on the earth, take on humanity, and to live for 30-some years was to bear the load of our sins. He knew that was His purpose. He knew that was ahead of Him just a few hours in the future. Yet He prays, "Lord, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering from me." The author of Hebrews tells us in chapter 5, speaking of Jesus, it says, "In the days of His flesh," that is, when He walked on the earth, "Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears." Loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Savior of our souls, knows the agony of suffering, and He knows how to pray to His Heavenly Father. He shows us how to cast His burdens in prayer upon His God. We're in week 3 of a 6-week series on the Psalms that are written by David, the great man of God. And these Psalms have, when you look at all of the Psalms, including David's, they all have such a variety. Some are primarily, the theme is primarily about praise and thanksgiving. Some have a theme of dominated by penitence, where there's a need for forgiveness. Other Psalms have a theme of seeking justice, calling on God to judge evil people who are oppressing and creating violence and distress. And then there's also a very high percentage of Psalms that have a theme of what we would call lament, of pouring out our distress, the distress of our souls upon the Lord, calling on Him, not unlike what Jesus did. And today we're going to focus on a psalm where David has a couple of those things, a couple of those themes going on. One is praying against the people who are creating violence and oppression on the people, but also he's praying for deliverance in his own soul, in the anguish that he's experiencing. And as we read this psalm, it's Psalm 55, if you want to turn there ahead of time, many of us will discover that we can relate to David. We can say, "Well, I haven't been through the exact circumstances, but I can feel the emotion. I can feel the angst and the anger and the frustration and the fear." And we can learn from David how to pray, that his prayer could become our prayer, that in the end we would find God's sustaining power as Jesus did, as David did. So let's pray before we look at prayer. Lord, Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God is living and active, and it can penetrate down to our souls. And may your word today, as we look at Psalm 55, may it penetrate. May you, with your words, these are your words, may they penetrate our souls by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before I begin, I'll introduce myself. I'm Brad Barrett, one of the pastors here. And if I haven't met you yet, I hope I can. My wife and I would love to meet you. She's at home sick today. She decided not to bless you all with her cough by coughing all over you. So she's at home. We usually sit back there. So if you're looking for us, and well, we always sit back there. It's like assigned seating, the 11th commandment, thou shalt not ever move from your assigned seating. But occasionally we get over here and try to visit you Westsiders. So we find out there's a whole new church over here that we never met before. And some of you could, you know, do that. So as a review on our series, as I studied Psalms in advance to this, I kept running into a regular theme about the Psalms in general, and then David's Psalms, which are just about half of those. And that theme is prayer. The Psalms are really prayers. And the church for centuries, for the last 2,000 years, and the Jews, the people of Israel before that, really viewed the Psalms as like our prayer book. How to pray, what to pray, in all wide ranges of emotions. Our joys, our praises, our thanksgivings, our fears, our anger, our confusion. Prayers that can help us be honest with God. And it seems to me there's no situation or emotion that we can experience that isn't somewhere, in some way, reflected in the Psalms. They're like a mirror to our souls. We read them and we see reflecting back in us. We look at the psalm and we think, wait, that's me. That's what I feel. Or that's what I want to feel. One author said, immersing ourselves in the Psalms and turning them into prayers teaches our hearts the grammar of prayer. The Psalms give us language to pray. Sometimes we just don't even know what to say. The Psalms can be our language book. And the end result is that we know God more intimately, we trust Him more deeply, and we line up our beliefs and our emotions with God. So let's read Psalm 55 together, page 475 in the House Bible that's on some of the chairs sitting around you. It's in, if you have your own different Bible than that, it's in the Psalms are in the middle of the Bible. And as we read these first, we're going to read the first eight verses all in once. And as we do this, look for the emotion. It's not hard to find. Look for David's emotion. Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. David has given us a window into his soul. We can read this trial, and we'll read more about what is going on with this trial in a few minutes, but we get the sense of the anguish and the look at the words that he uses. First, he's pleading for God to even hear his prayer. It's like, Lord, I don't know if you hear me, but I need you to hear me. He says, I'm restless in my complaint. I moan. The enemy's dropping trouble on me. They hold a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling, horror. Oh, I wish I was a bird. I could fly away. I wish I was in a shelter that was so strong that it could withstand the hurricane winds that are going on in my life. I I've had many trials, as most of you have. I don't know if I've ever felt quite this much anguish, but I can relate in a few moments of my life. I can relate to this. Somehow, in his agony and in his horror, David found strength to pray and vent all this emotion to God. I know sometimes when I'm overwhelmed, I just can hardly open my mouth in prayer. All of his anguish and his fear and his terror and his moaning, he tells it all to God. He begs God, "Mercifully, Lord, hear my prayer." What's remarkable about David, his whole life, not just this moment, but how much of his life was spent in extraordinary trials, fighting enemy armies regularly, running for his life when King Saul, his own father, wanted to kill him, facing his own horrific sin of adultery and murder, and then dealing with all the aftermath of that, and then years later, his own son, Absalom, wants to take over the throne and kill his own father. All sorts of trials. David, who's this great man of God, one of the greatest in the scriptures, faced enormous problems in his life. Life brought on a lot of hits to his life, some of them caused by himself. On Monday, last Monday, I skimmed through all 75 of David's Psalms, and over half of them have something expressed like this, where something was going on. It wasn't just your random everyday trial, you know, things happen. These were intense things where there's an enemy, often with a human enemy, which we'll find out in a minute is the situation here. But over half of David's Psalms have an element like that. That's telling to us. Some of you have gone through great trials of anguish and distress, fear, horror. You read David's emotions and you can relate. You just say, "Amen, that's me." Been there. Maybe you're even there. Some of you are even here today in that situation. Trials of great suffering. Perhaps there's abuse, there's betrayal by someone you trusted, there's life-threatening disease, there's divorce, there's death in the family. Any kind of an intense trial can create such emotion in us. Distress and fear and trembling. And we can wish, like David in verses 6, 7, 8, we can wish, "I wish I was a bird and I could just fly and get out of here. I just need to run. Go find some place in the wilderness. Some place of peace and safety." God has given us, through this inspired book, he has given us prayers by one of the most godly men in history. And these prayers have been permanently recorded for us. What will we do with them? How can they help us? Let's keep reading verse 9. Now we get into a fascinating portion of David's prayer, and we'll wonder, as Christ's followers, followers of Christ, what do we do with this prayer now? Verse 9, "Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolent with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart." What do we do with this prayer? David's former friend, a former intimate companion, now his enemy. His friend betrayed him and has betrayed the people of God. This isn't just your ordinary, everyday, you know, random person who annoys your neighbor down the street or your coworker who's kind of a jerk. This is someone who's betrayed you and is now creating havoc among the people of God in the city, probably in Jerusalem. Did you read the words like violence and oppression, great evil? This would be like some madman running wild in Ames who's on the loose, who's creating havoc in the city. It's not a normal day. He's committing fraud in the marketplace, in the business world. In our culture, this man, if he was caught and tried and convicted, he would go to prison for a long time. That's how severe the actions of this former friend is. So we have to keep that in mind. This isn't just the annoying person who sometimes is you. This is intense. We also have to remember, first of all, here that David is the king. He has been charged by God to be over the people. He's the executive, the judicial, the legislative branch, all wrapped up into one. That's what kings do. It is his responsibility as the government to go after people who are committing crimes, who are against the people of God. It's like the governor, the president. Their charge is to protect the nation or to protect the state or the city. It's a very important distinction. And because the situation here is very serious, David's prayer is very serious. In verse 9, he prays that God would destroy and divide their tongues. That makes me think, and David might have had this in mind, of God's language in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel, when it says the Lord divided their tongues, scattered them out in the world. So the trouble that they were creating would be diminished. Verse 15, he utters a severe prayer that death would overcome them. They would go down to Sheol, to the place of the dead, alive. It's like, whoa, I've never prayed that for anyone, by the way. But I think David here has in mind in Numbers chapter 16, when there were three evil men. Their names were Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They were fighting against Moses. They wanted to overthrow Moses, which was really treason against God and against the people of Israel. Trying to take over the leadership. And in Numbers 16, verse 31, Moses warned them. And as soon as Moses had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. Whoa. God did that. Their crimes were against God. The earth literally opened up, and they fell into the place of the dead and died. That's the level that David feels is going on here. His prayer is not unlike what happened there. And what makes all this even more painful for David, more of a heartache for David, is that this was his friend. At least David thought they were friends. They walked together concerning the things of God, and now this former friend is wreaking havoc. No wonder David uses words like in verses 1 through 8, like, restless in my complaint, I'm moaning, I'm troubled, I'm in anguish, I have the terrors of death, I'm fear and trembling. Perhaps some of you can relate to David's agony. Life at times hits us hard. Some of you have been betrayed or abandoned, like David's friend did. And such betrayal can be utterly baffling. It can be unsettling. And our trust of and love for people can be shaken. I mean, there's all kinds of stories. One is not long ago, it was just actually a few weeks ago, an old friend of mine was telling me of one of their adult children who will hardly speak to them. I don't even know why. It just doesn't seem to be fair. It just creates great agony. Some years ago, my wife and I experienced a betrayal of sorts from an extended family member. It was years ago. Our oldest daughter was only one at the time, about 1 year old. And this family member was trying to come off drugs and alcohol problems, so we offered to help him out. We invited him to live with us for a few months, try to get him back on his feet, get a job, and get clean. And month one went pretty well. Month two, started to see some problems, some things I was a little troubled about. Month three, things just fell apart. The stress level grew dramatically. He stole from us. He stayed out many nights doing something, drugs or alcohol. We don't know exactly what he was doing. It obviously strained our relationship, especially after he forged a check from my checkbook to get cash. I confronted him about it, and it didn't go very well. And he was so enraged that I'm just fortunate he didn't start swinging, because he was a lot bigger than I was, and my face would be quite mangled, more than it is. So at the end of this three-month period, he ends up in jail. That's another story. It's semi-related, but we visited him in jail up in Webster City at the Hamilton County Jail. And he told us in a moment of honesty, he told us he had been so angry with us that he had come very close to burning our house down. And the only reason he didn't was because of our one-year-old daughter, his niece. That was a bit jarring. I'd never had anyone since then have those kind of thoughts. Now, if I had known that at the time, my prayers would have been even more desperate. Maybe a little bit like David. Oh, God. There's so many various kinds of trials we experience, whether it's betrayal by someone or just evil that's going on in our world or things that happen to us. And we can relate, at least in part, to David's anguish in the beginning of this psalm. And then we have to wonder, though, well, how do I pray? I know how to pray for me. I want deliverance, but what do I pray for the perpetrator? What do I pray for the man or woman who's creating great havoc and doing great evil and violence? Or stories like the video we watched in North Korea when there's great oppression against Christians. What do we pray? It's not a simple answer. It's not a one-line answer, but we'll look at more in a few minutes. For now, let's keep reading. In verse 16, there's a turning point here in David's prayer. Verse 16, "But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God." At the beginning of the psalm, in verses 1 and 2, David is just pleading, "Lord, hear me." I think he's not even sure that God is hearing him. He seems to be lacking some confidence that God really cares. And so he's praying, "Lord, hear me, care what's going on." But now, as this story moves along, and we don't know exactly how David wrote this. I doubt he wrote this in 5 minutes, and the trial was over in 5 minutes, and all of a sudden his prayer was answered. It might have occurred over hours or days or weeks. Maybe he wrote this psalm afterwards, recounting the process that he went through. I don't know. But he says, "All day long, evening, morning, noon, I pray, I cry aloud," and he hears. He's persevered in prayer so long until he was confident that God had heard his prayers. He went from less confidence to more. And then in verse 18, David seems to be speaking here both of a physical and a spiritual deliverance. He's confident God will not only save his life, but save his soul from all this anguish and the heartache. Now, seldom do any of us, it happens, but it's not as frequent, do we have human enemies who want to actually bring us physical harm like is going on here. It certainly happens frequently to Christians in various parts of the world, like North Korea. But all of us, at a bare minimum, we have a spiritual enemy, the devil, who wants to bring great harm. And God will deliver us. He'll protect our souls. Now, we don't have a guarantee as followers of Christ under the new covenant. We don't have a guarantee that we'll be delivered from all physical harm. Jesus died at the hands of evil men. The apostles, almost all of them died for their faith, being persecuted, not unlike these North Korean believers. But we do have assurance that our souls will be watched out for, that God has not abandoned us. He is paying attention to us. He hears our prayers. Verse 20, my companion, this former friend, stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. David's former friend here is a hypocrite of the worst kind. He's got all the right words, but he intends great evil in his heart. And now in verse 22, David draws to a beautiful conclusion and he gives us some instruction. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden. Throw your burden. All the weights of life, small or large, cast them on the Lord. And he will sustain you. He won't allow the righteous to be moved, to be shaken. He will hold on to our souls. He will keep us. No one will snatch us out of his hand. He will hold us up. He will hold us fast. He will stabilize us. He will secure our hearts. He will strengthen our faith. He won't let us go. Cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you, David tells us. David, who had been through more trials than probably most of us, maybe all of us, he tells us God will sustain you. Cast your burdens on him. David's promise here reminds me in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul's words to Christ, to the Christ follower like us. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God's begun something in you. He will finish it. He has not forgotten you. He will not abandon you. He will sustain you. Cast your burden on him. And David's final words in verse 23, but you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. But I will trust in you. But I will trust in you. God is a holy, righteous, all-knowing judge, and he will deal with all sin one way or another. All sin will be dealt with. Injustice. His judgment will either be enacted upon every person for his or her own sins, or his judgment will be placed on the back of the holy, innocent Son of God as a substitute for you if you believe in him. But judgment will happen. No sin will escape judgment. We won't always see justice on earth, even for great evil, but someday, all of it will be dealt with. And that is a great assurance to all of us. And David's last sentence in the psalm, his conclusion, is so beautiful. It's so comforting and so inspiring. He just says, but I will trust in you. I will. I will trust you. Simply stated, at the end of all things, all that David has been through, the anguish, the horror, the fear, the trembling, the betrayal, seeing the people of God experiencing violence and oppression and fraud. the wondering if God even hears his prayers. David, in the end, after persevering in prayer, after seeking God morning and evening and at noon, he says, "But I will trust in you." He pours out his heart to God in the midst of his anguish, and God ministers to him. God comforts him. God answers him. So what do we take from all this? There's quite a bit of variation in the psalm. There's the anguish of his soul. There's the calling on the enemy to be cast alive into Sheol. Let me give you three things that we can take from this, that I've taken from this. Is one, we need to learn how to pray using the psalms. There are dozens of psalms not unlike this, like Psalm 55. Find them, make them your own, and pray them in your hour of distress. Small or large, find them. Use the psalms as a template for prayer. And when you're enduring great hardship, sometimes we don't even know what to pray. Sometimes we can't even get the words out of our mouth. The psalms can be your grammar book. Read it aloud, word for word, and say amen to what you agree with, emotions you're feeling. And if David's words aren't quite the right expression for you, paraphrase it, but talk to God. As an example, look at the beginning of the psalm. I'll just tell you how I do this. I do this all the time. Verse 1, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy." In my own words, I would say something like, "Lord, I just wonder if you hear me this morning. I wonder if I'm talking to the air. Help me. Hear me. I'm desperate." I've often prayed things just like that. Verse 2, "Attend to me and answer me. I'm restless in my complaint and I moan." I've prayed things like, "Lord, I'm just in anguish. I'm afraid. I'm terrified. I can hardly pray. I just feel overwhelmed." I tell that to God. Verse 6, David says, "Oh, I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest." I cannot tell you how many times I've prayed something like that. Like, "Lord, I need to get out of here. I want to run. Where do I run? I want a new job. I want a new life. I just need something. I need out." And if you've never been in a place where you've thought such things as just that David did here in these first 8 verses, you will eventually. One of the greatest men of God felt that way often. Use the Psalms to pray. When you're in distress, when you need to pour out your heart, God has given them to us to instruct us and to help us. He wants to hear from us. Learn how to pray from the Psalms. Second, express your pain and even your anger to God. Express them to God. Tell him. Tell him your anger, your outrage over the sins of others and over injustices. And I want to emphasize, express them to God. Some of them shouldn't be expressed yet to someone else, to another human. It might be too much for them, but it's not too much for God. Not yet. Reasons to do that. One is, first of all, your feelings are real. If you're angry, you're angry. You can't deny that. And the Lord is a God of justice, and you're angry. If you're angry over some injustice, you're made in his image. Of course, you should be angry at injustice and sin. It's normal. It's natural. Why stuff them? They won't go away. Just tell God. And second, God already knows what you're thinking anyway, so do you think you're going to tell him how angry you are, and he's going to go, "I didn't know that"? Just tell him. It may feel so wrong to be so angry before the Lord. I just say, if David prayed like this, it's safe for you. God has big shoulders. He can take it. And if you're not thinking right, he'll square you away. He will. still, we may hesitate to pray so bluntly, and we may think, you know what, Lord, I need to sanitize my prayers before I go to God. I'm going to go over here and get them all cleaned up, and then I'll go to God with this nice, clean prayer, this holy prayer. No, just go to God. He'll sanitize them for you. If you're enraged over something, just tell the Lord. Read David's words to help you process. And honestly, if you feel like you wish someone would die, just tell him that. I'm not saying land there, but tell him. That's why you want to go to God with this first before you go to people. But we got to ask, what should we really ask for the kinds of things that David asked here? Cast them down alive into Sheol. I don't know if I can tell you to pray that. I don't know if I've ever prayed such a thing. I've felt that way. I do think there's some differences generally in how in Christ we're to pray for justice compared to David's words. And I do believe the most severe prayers are reserved for the most severe situations. And this, David is encountering a very severe situation. And it's not hard for you to think of similar severe situations that are going on around the world in our city that maybe have happened to you. And they are severe. And the behavior by the perpetrator needs to be stopped. And you ought to pray for it to stop. Shouldn't you? We shouldn't not pray for evil to stop. We must pray those things. But how do we pray for the person, the perpetrator? I can't give you an easy answer. I'll give you some examples. For example, Jesus was very harsh at the Pharisees. He was brutal on them because they were misleading the people of God. They should have been teachers of the word. Instead, they needed to be taught. And they were proud and arrogant and defiant and rebellious against Jesus himself. And actually, it was them who ended up killing him or had a part in that. The Apostle Paul had harsh words in Galatians 1 for anyone who preaches a false gospel. And do you know what he said? He said, if anyone preaches a gospel other than what we preach, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Paul said that. Whoa, doesn't sound very Christian. There are just some things that are so serious, it takes some serious prayer. Or if there's violence going on and someone's bringing great harm to another, my prayer is going to intensify. I'm going to pray violence will stop one way or another, either through that person repenting, getting caught, or dying. I'll just leave that up to the Lord. But at the same time, Jesus told us in Matthew 5, he says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The Apostle Paul told us in Romans 12 not to take personal vengeance. God is the avenger. The handout in your bulletin is going to give you a breath here. And that's I struggled to find a nice, concise, one single sentence that could summarize everything you should ever pray. It's not easy. There's a wide range of emotion and prayer that we ought to have. We need to be biblical in our prayers. But if you're not sure, just go to God. He'll straighten you out. But as a minimum, if you feel enraged and want vengeance, just tell God about it. He's a safe place to go. Let me tell you a story. David's story is like, 100 on a scale of 100. The story I'm going to tell you is almost kind of silly. It's more like a 5. Something that happened. I was angry. I was angry with my wife. I told her about this. She was okay with me telling this. Now I don't even remember what it was about. It was probably something pretty pathetic that I was upset about. But I was angry one morning, and I was in prayer and talking to God. And, but I don't even remember the details, not much. But I had 3 options because I was angry. One is to vent on her, just to vomit with my words all over her. Not really a good option, right? Everyone agree with that? Option number 2 is to stuff it and ignore it and pretend that I'm not really angry. Not really a good option because at some point the pressure cooker is going to blow and it won't be pretty. Or option 3, talk to God about it. Who knew? Vent to God. So I did that. I was praying that morning, and I said something like, Lord, I'm just so angry now with my wife, blah, blah, blah. And it went on for about like 10 or 15 seconds. And I'm not kidding you. It was like 20 seconds into the prayer. And I feel like this message comes into my heart from the Holy Spirit and goes, Brad, you're not so hot yourself. Oh, yeah, I know, Lord. I'm sorry. I just, you know, and honestly, later that day, I had completely forgotten about what I was so angry about. Again, it was probably something really stupid. But God dealt with me. He's smart enough to know what's going on in my heart. I had this big fat log in my eye, and I needed to take the log out before I could see the speck in my wife's eye. Later on, I didn't even think there was a speck. It's like I just got the log out, and then everything's good. But God will deal with this if we go to Him in prayer. And we can vent our raw, unsanitized emotions to the Lord. And with the help of Psalms, we can learn to do that to the one who will sustain us and hold us fast. So we learn through the Psalms to pray. We learn to express our emotions, our pain, our anger to God. And third, just remember and trust. Just remember the Lord. Remember David and trust the Lord. Remember David's desperation. Remember his faith. Remember his perseverance in prayer. Evening, morning, and noon, he prayed. He cried aloud. And then remember God's deliverance. Remember his promises to watch out for you, to care for you, to bring justice on the earth. In the beginning of the psalm, David wasn't quite as confident that God even heard him. But David unloaded his burden, perhaps over many days. He poured out his heart, the anguish, the fear, the horror, wishing he was a bird and could fly away. All of his dark and terrifying emotions. But he persevered, and the Lord heard his voice. And in the end, he just uttered the beautiful, simple, "But I trust in you." Remember and trust in the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, like your disciples asked you, we ask, teach us how to pray. We know we have the Lord's Prayer as a model, as a framework, but we also have the Psalms, and you have such compassion for us, and you love to listen to us. And you have the power to act on our behalf, and you have the heart of justice to make all things right, sometimes on earth, but for sure in eternity. Lord, like David wanted and found, help us to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.